So we've come to a very famous verse today, which is the central verse of this whole chapter that we are reading now, from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, third chapter, entitled Pure Devotional Service, text number 10. Akama sarva kama va. One who has transcended all material desires. Sarvakama. One who has the sum total of material desires. Va. Either. Mokshakama. One who desires liberation.
Udaridhi,
with brother intelligence.
Jivena,
with great force.
Bhakti-yogena,
my devotional service to the Lord. Jajita, should worship. Purusham, the Lord. Param, the Supreme Whole. Translation. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Purushottam, or the Supreme Personality. It is He only who can award liberation to the impersonalist by absorbing such aspirants in the Brahma Jyoti, the bodily rays of the Lord. The Brahma Jyoti is not separate from the Lord, as the glowing sun rays is not independent of the sun disk. I think it's a long purport, so I'll comment a little bit as we are reading. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, Avidhi Purvakam. So many are worshipping the Lord, but they do so in the wrong way. Avidhi Purvakam. Ultimately, everyone is worshipping the Supreme Lord Krishna, either directly or indirectly, because really, everything is Krishna's energy. Everything has its origin in Krishna. Even the living beings have their origin in Krishna. Therefore, in one sense, everyone follows my path in all respects. But some are following the direct path and some are on some indirect path. And the indirect path is only very slowly lifting us up, and not necessarily permanently either. So, just as reaching the Brahman Jyoti, Patanti Adaviti Yusmat Anugrahaya, again, we must fall down from that position, even if we can stay there for a long time. Or Xine Punya Marcha Lokam Visanti. Those who attain the heavenly planets, they'll come down from these heavenly planets again to Marcha Loka, to this planet, when their pious activities run out. So from so much worship, so many temporary benefits are being attained. And what's the point? Even if the Brahma Jyoti is attained for a long time from our present perception, then again, fall down from there. Yenya vindaktavi uttimaninas twayas tabhavata visuda bhuvidayam aruya krichena parampalam tata patanti anaditi yusmadangrahaya. If you haven't taken shelter of the lotus feet, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is lotus-eyed, then no chance to stay there. You will again fall down. So actual liberation permanent liberation cannot be attained by just merging in Brahman. So what Sankaracharya is teaching, basically, there may be mukti, but it is not permanent. It is not permanent mukti. Permanent mukti or permanent liberation is only attained through devotional service. This verse, akama serva kama vamoks akama udhari, tivrena bhakti yogena, tivra bhakti. Tivra, it is said, when the sun is just unadulterated, full blast, no clouds, nothing to shield it, just the sun, then unadulterated. So tivra bhakti, unadulterated bhakti, not adulterated with anything else, not mixed, not with mixed motivation, not mixed with so many material activities, and then a little bhakti, and then three more days of material activity, and 5 minutes of devotional service, and then again, like that. No, continuous, ahitikya patiyata, without motivation, without interruption. In the beginning, we continuously interrupt our devotional service. We do little service, and oh, I had so much surrender. Now I can have some sense gratification as a reward. That is the mind. The mind is telling us like that. Now I can have a break. Now I can rest. 6 days I worked so hard. Well, Sunday, rest day, I can sleep. And they put the clock 1 hour forward. So that's a good excuse. Oh, too much. Then I will not go to the temple. Too much trouble. We have a whole hour, we have to rest also, we have to work the whole week, yes, so I need my rest. And then may as well take some extra rest, you see. That is the nature of the mind, of the material energy. So the tapasvis, the diehards, they have come. They've come here. What to do? Tibra bhakti. One must engage in pure devotional service. The verse says, we must engage in pure devotional service, but how can one engage in pure devotional service with material desires? Those who have material desires, those who don't have material desires, must engage in pure devotional service. So we're speaking about the process of pure devotional service here. We're speaking about whether you have material desires or not, doesn't matter. One should engage in the process of pure devotional service without adulteration. That is the idea. So let us read a little more. Bhakti yoga is especially stressed here as the means of all perfection. In the previous chapters, it has been stated that bhakti yoga is the ultimate goal of both karma yoga and jnana yoga. And the same way in this chapter, it is emphatically declared that bhakti yoga is the ultimate goal of the different varieties of worship of the different demigods. Bhakti yoga, thus being the supreme means of self-realization, is recommended here. Everyone must therefore seriously take up the methods of bhakti yoga, even though one aspires for material enjoyment or liberation from material bondage. Yes. Devotional service is the only thing that can satisfy the heart. Other things can satisfy the senses, but not the heart. Even although the senses are satisfied, still the heart remains unfulfilled. That is the problem of sense gratification. So many varieties of sense enjoyments are there. But then, as soon as it's over, still, the desires for more are still there. Just, it is said, bhakti parisana bhavati rakhtir niyata chaisa trike ikikala prabhada manashyus tushti pushtiksit apayam kasam. It is explained that the process of devotional service is compared to eating. And it says in the eating process, you become full. And when you become really full, then even if they bring your favorite preparation, it's your favorite, I know, you look surprised, got your favorite prep, oh, take it away, I'm full, I had enough. Even your favorite prep, you don't want to see it anymore. Ah, yeah, don't want it. No. Because we are full. So, when we become fulfilled, then we can give up the material world. But otherwise, nothing, no material activities can ever give us fulfillment, and therefore we will remain hungry. Prabhupada gave the example of the Brahmana who was begging. He was poor and he was hungry and he was begging, and that particular day he didn't get any alms. It was extremely difficult. So, you know, Brahmanas traditionally were supposed to only beg from certain houses within the Brahman community, so that whatever they would get would not be contaminated. But anyway, he went to all those Brahman houses and he got nothing. So what to do? Not just then he came into the Muslim area and said, what to do, what to do? I'm starving, hungry. So he begged from a Muslim house. But being a Brahmin, begging from a Muslim house, that means he loses his caste. He loses his caste, becomes an outcast. He said, anyway, you know, what good is my caste when I'm starving? I have to eat. So he went, begged from the Muslim's house and lost his caste. But the Muslim, he gave him only very little. He's very miserly Muslim, gave him very little. And then he lamented, he said, now I've lost my caste and I'm still hungry. Lost my caste and still hungry. So this is material life. We are trying to enjoy the senses, it doesn't work if we do it in what is allowed. So first we're trying to enjoy the senses in a way that is permitted by social convention and scripture. And then, we're still not satisfied. Then, we begin to satisfy our senses in a forbidden way, hidden in the dark. In the darkness, we commit sinful activities for enjoyment. But even after we've done that, still not satisfied, still broken all the rules in the book, still not satisfied, still not enough, still not enough. That's the point where we may come, if we're fortunate, may come to our senses and may say, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm just becoming degraded, I'm wasting my life. And it's not going anywhere, it's just going downhill from here. I've got to get out of the soup. I've got to somehow or other pull it together and get serious. So many who were fallen have become devotees, even in the failure times. We remember that Valmiki was not always a great saint. Sometimes they say that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Have you heard that one before? Comes actually from a Sikh, one of the Sikh gurus said that. Yeah. Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. But there is truth in that, and one can therefore not judge a person by the past. Therefore one should also not ask about the past. Nor when one is dealing with a sadhu. Nor should one think, oh, here is a sadhu. He was the son of very exalted parents. He was this, he was that, he was always a devotee. So that may be, that is maybe Nietzsche's siddha. There There are some devotees who come from the spiritual world. So there's Nitya Siddha, those who are eternally perfect, those who are already perfect. And then there is Sadhana Siddha, those who became perfect by devotional practice. And then there is Kripa Siddha, those who become perfect by special mercy. But it doesn't matter. You cannot say, oh, this is the Nitya Siddha and that's the Sadhana Siddha, second class. You know, the best of Nitya Siddhas, they are really the real gurus, and all the others are, you know, second class guru. Right? No, Siddha is Siddha. It doesn't matter where one came from. One is Siddha. And once one is perfect, then one is perfect. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. One is perfect. Of course, there are different degrees of perfection. Different degrees of perfection. Like I may say perfect is perfect, but even in the Vedic times, we see, even in the Bhagavatam, we see fall down occur. There was Bharat Maharaj. And Bharat Maharaj, he was a great emperor once. Then he went, he gave up the world, became a great personality. He was a great, great sage. And Bharat Maharaj, it is said, came to the stage of Bhava. It is written, he came to Bhava in Bhagavatam. And then the deer came. And somehow or other he got distracted, he gave up his devotional practices, and then he fell down. So even someone from Bhava, it's a very advanced stage, it's Uttamadhikari. Bharat Maharaj would be in the category of Uttamadhikari. So how can an Uttamadhikari fall down? That we can see there are different levels of Uttamadhikari. In the Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Jiva Goswami describes that there are different classes of perfect devotees. He says one has 2 feet in the material world, but the eyes on Krishna. Another one has 1 foot in the material world and 1 foot in the spiritual world. And the third one has both feet in the spiritual world. So then he gives examples of these categories. He says, Narada Muni, when he was the son of the maidservant, he had 2 feet in the material world and 2 eyes on the spiritual world. At that time, when he was a small boy, his mother died because of snake bites. But he had the association of great pure devotees, and they had instructed him. So he went to the forest as a 5-year-old boy and began to meditate under the tree, under the directions of the Bhaktivedantas, and then he got the darshan of the Lord. But the Lord appeared before him and then disappeared. He became very upset. Then the Lord came back and said that in this life you will not see me anymore. Now you must first undergo further purification. In next life you will see me. So he was a perfect devotee, but still maybe some impurities in the heart, something there, but his eyes always fixed on the Lord. And throughout his life he remained faithful. His eyes remained fixed on the Lord, and he attained perfection. So that is the first category described by Jiva Goswami. The second category that is described by Jiva Goswami is Sukadev Goswami. So Sukadev, as we remember, stayed 16 years in the womb of his mother, wouldn't come out, but finally was convinced when Krishna personally assured him that nothing would happen, that he would not fall prey to the material energy. Sukadev then came out. Sukadev heard also Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, and Sukadev otherwise had no interest in anything. He wasn't even interested in wearing a dress or anything. He was just walking naked through the world. And then it happened to be so that he went through the forest and some young girls were bathing in the forest. Sukadeva was 16 years old. He was young, he was beautiful, he was fit, he was ready. But even the thought, no lusty thought ever came into his mind when he saw those girls, not at all. And the girls could see he's completely innocent and they didn't even cover their bodies. He has no interest. Later, Vyasadeva followed his son, and he was a grihastha, so then, and he was much older, but then quickly the girls covered themselves. So it is said Sukadeva was like that, one foot in the material world, one foot in the spiritual world, completely aloof, completely not affected at all by anything in the material world. It could not even awaken, nothing could awaken the material desire in him. Whereas possibly the other category of 2 feet in the material world and the eyes on the spiritual world, a material desire may arise. Like Yamuna Acharya said, when the thought of sex life arises, I spit. It means it did arise. In Sukadeva, it didn't even arise. It didn't arise. So the... And then the third category is again Narada Muni, but this time in his next birth, when he had a spiritual body. So the third category, 2 feet in the spiritual world, means one is in the material world in a spiritual body. And the example is Narada Muni. That is what Jiva Goswami explains as Bhakti Sandarbha. It's interesting, because it sheds light on this confusing issue. How can pure devotees fall? The Sukadeva category will not fall, but the 2 feet in the material world and the eyes on Krishna category, they must be sure to keep their eyes on Krishna. So Bharat Maharaj was in that category. And therefore when Bharat Maharaj turns his eyes away from Krishna to a little deer, that's when he fell. That's when he fell. So that can explain many things, right? How also in our movement, how great exalted devotees, who actually were great and exalted, could fall down. Some have said, if they fell down, they were never pure devotees, never. Otherwise, how can they fall down? So no, actually Jiva Goswami explains it in a much more refined way. And we can say to such devotees who have this mood, no, Jiva Goswami explains it. And in that way we can understand Apichet Sudara Charo Bajate Mamanam Yabak and Sadhuriha Saman Tatya Samyak Vyatsita Hisaha. We can understand that actually they are saintly personalities. Actually they are great and pure devotees. Yes, it is early in the morning, winter, cold. You're walking downtown and you walk past the bakery. The smell of fresh bread. You get hungry. The water comes into your mouth at the thought of hot fresh bread. You demon, it's karmic bread. It's not offered to Krishna. How dare you allow to get water in your mouth for such bread? No. It happens, the body responds, the senses respond. Even the mind for a moment feels attracted, then the intelligence kicks in. No, this is karmic bread, you never know what's inside. No way. No, we're not going to have it. So that's perfectly fine. That is fine. That is not a fall down. That is not inappropriate. But we can see when even devotees who are Uttama Adhikaris, even those who are on Bhav, if they are not in the category of Sukadeva Goswami with one foot in the spiritual world, then they can also fall prey again to the illusory energy. How is this? It is because the illusory energy is very powerful. But it is said, Bhumirapo, Vayu, Kamala, Budhira, Eva, Cha, Hungra, Vikriyame, Vina, Prakriti, Rastada. There are 8 separated energies of the Lord. Earth, what if our eater, mind, intelligence, false ego, this is the lower, the external material energy. And then it says in the next verse, aparenya mitastranyam prakitim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yagedam dayate jagat, that the living being is the superior energy. The superior to the material energy. So how is it that if the living being is superior to the material energy, that the living being can be overcome by that lower energy? How is it? How is it? The reason is because the lower external material energy is the reflection of Krishna's spiritual energy. And Krishna's spiritual energy is unlimited. And because Maya is the reflection of that spiritual energy, therefore it is also unlimited. And therefore there are unlimited varieties of sense enjoyment available. And then the living being is Anu. He is described, and Krishna is described to be Vibhu. Krishna, Vibhu means all-pervading, and Anu means atomic in size. 1/10,000th times the tip of a hair. Very, very minute, very small, is the living being. And Prabhupada says, due to the littleness of his existence, he can fall down. Due to the littleness of his existence, he can fall down from the spiritual platform. If at any time he can fall down. He can fall down. That is possible. So one must keep himself safe on the spiritual platform. There is this Avanti Brahmana. The Avanti Brahmana is described, he used to be a miser. Oh, he was a miserly Brahmana. Very tight.
He had a family and he would never give them anything. Nothing. Yeah.
So all his family members, they were tired of him. They were tired of him. He is such a miser. And when he was finally, when he was old, you know, they were, he was getting ready to take sannyas, they were happy to see him go. Yes. Anyway, so he took sannyas, and as a sannyas, he got so many reactions. For that, and for his previous activity, and he was being mistreated in many ways, in many ways. They had a really hard time. People used to treat him really disrespectfully. Not talking in the back. Otherwise, I cannot think, you see. It's not possible. He was distracted from his... people were treating him in so many ways not nice at all, but he was tolerating it. He was tolerating it. And this is all description how people used to laugh at him. People used to, some kids would throw stones at him. Then, some people even stole his danda. Yeah, they stole his danda to make a joke at this. Dandi Swami. He stole his danda. And then, one man went so far to show his friends that he even passed urine on him. I mean, now that's the limit. I mean, when someone passes urine on you, it gets too much. I have experienced of traveling in the unreserved train in India and sleeping on the floor on my dhamsha. And waking up because a baby passed stool on my head. And that was the last time I traveled in an unreserved bogey. That was it. And that is enough. No more. After that. So it's very difficult to tolerate it when anyone passes urine upon you. But it says then in a verse in the 11th canto that one must keep himself safe on the spiritual platform, even when somebody when spat upon, even when urinated upon. Whatever people may do to us, we remain fixed on the spiritual platform and keep ourselves safe. Safe means that we are not just safe automatically. Oh no.
We must be sure that
our hand is protected, that we have the beads in our hand. We must be sure that we wear the armor of Shastra, and so that the arrows of Durga, the weapons of Durga, cannot touch us. Durga has many weapons. And the toughest one, she has this trident, the Trisam. Durga's trident. She's riding on this tiger and she has this trident, which is representing the three forms of material misery: Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, Adhidaivika, place, suffering from body and mind, suffering from other living beings, and suffering from natural circumstances controlled by the demigods. And just Durga Devi is, or Maya, who is Maya, personified. She has two Shaktis, the Prapsekatmika Shakti and the Avaranatmika Shakti. And the Prapsekatmika Shakti is the throwing potency. With the throwing potency, she throws opportunities under her nose like a ball. Wow! Oh, look at that. That's what I always wanted. That, I thought it would never come. Oh no, I've given up on this idea. I joined the Hare Krishna movement. I was totally frustrated about material life. I never thought that I would get this opportunity. Take it for you. Oh Maya. Okay then, I'll take it. Yes, I'm so happy. I can't believe it. I'm just over the moon. Finally, my dreams come true. Oh, and just then, at the peak of our enjoyment, suddenly, whang! That trident. That's too much. Throw away this opportunity. I don't want it anymore, Maya. Forget it. No, next time. No, I don't want your opportunity. No, I don't want it. Oh no, I have suffered enough. Yeah, I know you've got that trident. No, I'm not taking it. Oh, God, but it does look good, doesn't it? Oh, it looks actually very good. Maybe if I'm very careful and just a little bit, nibble a little from the side. Yes, just a little. That would be all right. See, the art is, when you want to be in Maya, is that you just have to know how to do it in a controlled way. It's all about balance. Yes. Let's try a little more. Can't be fanatic. Come on. Fast runners are dead runners. Steady wins the race. Relax. It's all right. I saw a play in this one Grihastha. He's sitting in front of the TV and watching football, and his wife is ironing the cloth. And she goes, and I thought that he was going to deliver me. And he goes, be quiet, I can't hear the football scores, beating out the scores, be quiet. So he's hearing the scores, he sits there in his undershirt, you know, scratching his belly, right? Romeo in his undershirt, scratching his belly, is very romantic, right? And then he goes, Where's the coffee? And she brings him the coffee. And he says, and you think it's not Krishna conscious? You think it's not Krishna conscious? I'm perfectly Krishna conscious. He said, look, you know, black is Krishna, then he puts the milk, white is Radharani. Black is Krishna, white is Radharani, and when you stir them, you get Gauranga. Perfectly Krishna conscious. Totally.
Can't be fanatic, Prabhu.
So, a little flirtation with Maya, you know, it's not the end of the world. We're grihasthas after all, you know what I mean. Son of a gun. So anyway, like this, one might be tempted to stretch the limits a little bit. But anyone says, yeah, but what about that trident? What about that trident? The trident will come. You take it, the trident. Yeah, but it did hurt. No, it did. But it didn't last so long. It didn't last so long. It's painful, but only short. And then the enjoyment was so good. It was so good. I think I can tolerate it. This is the avaranatmika shakti. When we have become covered, when we are so stupid that we just tolerate the material suffering and say, well, how can you even enjoy it if you never suffer? Actually, the suffering is good, Prabhu. Because then you will appreciate the enjoyment more. Yes, Maya, step me again. But Maya, how I love you. You give me such nice things. Although not as much as you used to give me. Oh my God. Maya's a bitch. So, be careful. The covering potency of illusion. And we even accept suffering as all right. All right, that was some little intermezzo. Now we read a little further from the purport. Akama is one who has no material desire. A living being, naturally being the part and parcel of the Supreme Whole, Purusham, Purnam, has as his natural function to serve the Supreme Being, just as the parts and parcel of the body, or the limbs of the body, are naturally meant to serve the complete body. I think you know that old play from a long, long time ago, Mr. Fish. A fish is just a fish. And Mr. Fish is coming, he's out of the water. He's out of the water, but he has Lola. Oh yes, the fish and Lola, and they are going to enjoy. But how can a fish enjoy? It is not possible. How can he enjoy outside of the water? And so at the end of the play, he finally goes back into the water. Finally, because that's where he belongs. So we cannot be happy in the material world. Nechalega. It is not, but it doesn't work. No matter what we do. And that is akinchana gochara. That is to be materially exhausted. That conviction that we are sure cannot enjoy, cannot be happy in the material world. It is not possible. Not possible. That doesn't mean that we cannot enjoy in the material world. We can. We can enjoy like anything, oh yes. But we cannot be happy. That's the point. Oh yes, I'm enjoying so much, you know, so so much. Yeah, you may say, I understand these kind of lectures, say they're nice, but you know, there's a chapati and there's a pizza. So some people say that a pizza is a self-realized chapati. There's some truth in that.
And if you have to make a choice,
which one would you prefer? Chapati or pizza? Put a little cheese on the chapati, why not? You know, what's wrong with that? So in this way, yes, we can see the difference. We can see the difference between Melbourne weather and the Sunshine Coast. Right? I mean, I don't think that there are as many flights from the Sunshine Coast to Melbourne as there are from Melbourne to the Sunshine Coast. What do you reckon? I reckon there are more flights from here to there, if you ask me. Yeah, I had a feeling. I haven't checked, but I think so. Yes, so we can appreciate also, we can appreciate the better parts of the material world. Oh, Prabhu, how dare you? Prabhuji, this is my Sunshine Coast, No, that's all right. It's okay. The devotees can go to the Sunshine Coast. We can go. It's authorized. Yes, you can go. Chalo. As long as you bring the beads. It's okay. We don't mind. It's not that we have to deny ourselves the sunshine and sit in the rain and let them go back to Godhead. No, that's not the process. We can appreciate the material world, but we cannot put our faith in these things and think that when all the material circumstances are favorable, that then we will be happy. It's like my body also likes some sunshine. Oh, sunshine, finally, right? The old bones are saying, hey, woohoo, this is good. But just because the bones get some relief doesn't mean that's happiness. That's not happiness. That's not happiness. That's not good enough. Even the best you get in this material world is not good enough. There was this advertisement, and I liked it. It was about Cindy Crawford. I don't know if you know Cindy Crawford, but she's a very famous model, at least was, and I think she still is. It was an advertisement for beauty cream, and it said, even Cindy Crawford doesn't look like Cindy Crawford in the morning. That was cool. That's pretty, that's the material world, you know, it can be true. It is like that, right? Okay, you know. And then we look okay, but in the material world, everything is like that. It is never perfect, no matter what. It is never perfect. The prince on the white horse, when he comes close, then he doesn't look so beautiful anymore. What can be done? But anyway, it's not the fairy tale. So this is the point. The point is, we can appreciate the pleasant things in this world, and we may not like the things that are not pleasant. And that's okay, that's spiritual, that's personal. We're personalists, we're not impersonalists. So we can appreciate what is nice and what is not nice. But we don't put our faith there. We don't put our faith there. Just like being celibate, right? And coming to that stage of Sukadeva Goswami, where one is not even agitated by sex life, that's very advanced. But there's a stage before, and that stage before is to have no faith in sex life. You see, when you put your faith in sex life, oh, this is it, this is it, this is it, then you are an illusion. It's not it. The world is oversexed. That's the problem with the world. they're oversexed. They make too much out of sex. It's everywhere. Sex, 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 advertising, this and that. Okay, it's part of life. But oversexed means you make too much of sex. It has a place in life. Right? For a brahmachari, zero. But it has a place in life, but otherwise it's overrated. It's overrated. Whatever is the result of it is overrated. And it's just, we don't deny pleasures are there, absolutely, but yeah, it's I mean, there was this song I used to sing, and it was, is this all there is? Is this all there is? Not really. It's a really like depressed song. But that's really how I felt about material pleasure at one point. At one point, I think, oh, this is it now. This is what the whole world has been so excited about. This is what they've been telling me about. This is it. The biggest thing in the world. Is this all there is? Is this all there is? Is that all we get? Yeah. We'll never be happy that way. So as devotees, we should have that declaration, make a declaration, a formal declaration of no faith in sex. Alright, it's part of life, or not, that's up to you. But it's not the major thing, it's not the big thing. It has its place, fine. If you decide that it's in life, in your life, then let it be in there. But it's not the main source of happiness. And as long as we've got that very clear, then there's no problem. And as long as we make sure to invest in Krishna consciousness, fine. Therefore, akama sarvakama vamoksha kama udarati. Therefore, whether we have material desires or don't have material desires, it doesn't matter. Engage in devotional service. That cannot be neglected for nothing, not even for sex. In Vrindavan, this brahmacharya came to me with a complaint. He says, Dismataji, she's looking at me all the time. She's looking at me all the time. That's too much. I said, look, you know, if you know that the Mataji is looking at you all the time, it means that you're looking at her all the time as well. then he says, no. You don't understand. You don't understand. I go, I understand very well. He says, no, you don't understand. It means that she loves me. I said, get out. Things, Bhakta Romeo and Bhakti and Juliet with Radha Krishna. I'm going to the temple. Do you want some maha? Krishna. So, Yes, let's not forget Krishna. All right, now we go a little further. So we see it. Desirelessness means, therefore, not to be inert like a stone, but to be conscious of one's actual position and thus desire satisfaction only from the Supreme Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this desirelessness as Bhajaniya Paramapurusa Sukha Mantra Svasukhatvam in his Sandarbha. This means that one should feel happy only by experiencing the happiness of the Lord. So, you know,
Krishna is known as Bhagavan.
Krishna is known as Bhagavan. And Jiva Goswami explains that, and he says Bhagavan is basically a word that is made of three syllables. Bhaga, ba, ga, and va. Three letters make up Bhagavan. And it says then that he says it stands for Bhajaniya Guna Vasista. And he says, what does it mean? Bhajaniya Guna Visista. It is said, Krishna is so wonderful, he is irresistible, you have to worship him. Bhajaniya Guna Visista. So it is like that. The more you get involved with Krishna, you become attracted. In the beginning, little. Nice. Then, you're looking at Radha Vallabha, that is nice. Then you are doing some service for Radha Vallabha. A little helping in the pujari room, then a little more, nice. You bring something for the deities, nice. Then, you know, after some time, then they give you some initiations even. They may even let you on the altar, you know what I mean? And then sort of like, nice. When you get close up, they're nice. But when you get really close, and you know, it says in the Nectar of Devotion that in the process of deity worship, one should not neglect to touch the lotus feet of the Lord. Oh, okay. And waking the Lord. So there are various placing tulsi leaves at the feet of the Lord. So this is us, this is nice, not a bad service. Nectar of Devotion says must be done. So little by little our service is increasing in quality, we come closer and closer to Krishna, and Krishna comes more and more to our life. And Bhajaniya Guna Visista, we become more and more attracted to Krishna. More and more it gets stronger day by day. Kirtan. In the beginning we croak, you know. And later, well, we croak with more attachment. With all due respect. What to do? That's fine. Because the essence, whether we croak or whether we sing very sweet and melodiously, in the beginning, it's about the melody. It's all, such a nice melody. But after a while, it's not just the music, it's Krishna. It's Krishna. Music without Krishna. Plastic, meaningless, empty, hollow. Who cares? Boom, 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 tiki, 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 boom. Who cares, you know? Jumping around. No, the holy name. When we dance and there's the holy name, then, right, it takes us up in ecstasy. It's spiritual, it's liberation, it's we jump high. In ecstasy, not just gymnastics or music, you know. My mother used to do gymnastics from the radio. I hated it. It was this piano, plunk, 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 and touch your toes with the tip of your nose, and plunk, 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 plunk. Oh, God. You know, what music has been misused for in the world, right? But when music, yeah, music to sell you rubbish, you know, it's the real thing. No, it's not. It's not. It's, but when Krishna comes in, that's real. That's real. So the holy name makes it all real, makes it all meaningful. Yes. Bhajaniya Guna Visista, Krishna. His qualities are amazing. Irresistible. You have to do it again. Like Friday we had a nice kirtan. And I guess we have to do it again. One of these
Yes.
This means that one should feel happy only by experiencing the happiness of the Supreme Lord. This intuition of the living being is sometimes manifested even during the conditioned state of a living being in the material world, and such intuition is expressed in the manner of altruism, philanthropy, socialism, communism, by the undeveloped minds of less intelligent persons. So here we see that there is something, a perverted reflection of a devotional attitude by doing mundane charity, mundane welfare work. And it is a fact, we see people doing amazing things. I have spent some time in hospitals and I have seen how some of these nurses, right, oh, they work under intense conditions and such. It's quite some sacrifice. I was on a plane, other story. I was on a plane and three rows of chairs, you know, and I'm sitting on the outside, the aisle seat, and next to me, a boy and a girl, and he has a fancy Apple computer. And he's showing her pictures of the party. And it's a party, right? Him and her on the party. And I'm sort of looking at it, and in my mind I go, degraded Kali Yuga people, right? You know, drinking and partying and anything. God, you know, just see how fallen people are, right? I was thinking. And then, okay, after the party, he shows the pictures of his work. And it turns out he is a doctor in an AIDS hospital, an HIV hospital for children in South Africa. And it was horrific. I mean, faces that were like, had become like half the face had become a wound, an open wound. A mouse, a picture of a mouse that had become like a raw wound inside. I was seeing these pictures. I was kind of like looking at it, and after I saw, like he showed about 30 slides like that. After I saw them, I go like, have a party. I mean, have a party, you know. No, I sympathized. God, you need a party after that. That was too much. That is too much. I felt like a party myself. too much. Fortunately, we have a transcendental party, right? You know, so I don't need these mundane parties. But if I wouldn't have a transcendental party, I can understand that they need a party after that. It's too much, too much. So what some of these people are doing is just, I have great respect for that. A great respect. I mean, I respected these people. And this man, I respected him after that. So, you know, and as far as the party, I said, he can do nothing wrong. You know, God, he does such work. So selfless work, it's not so easy to do that day in, day out. Good luck to you, you do that. And here we are, the devotees, the greatest welfare workers. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, where's the Maha? Thank you so much. Oh God, we have to go on book distribution. It's the book distribution day again. I hate this day. Anything we see, if we can come up with some excuse. Last week on the stick, can't use that one again. But maybe my mother, an emergency with my mother, that could do it, you know. Oh no, just got a call from my mother, you know. It's an accident, you know. I really have to go there right away. Shh, got out of that one. So yes, then you see, some people may be in the material world, and they may do material activities. But they are quite surrendered in a way. They're making a big sacrifice. Their mentality of sacrifice is much greater than ours. And you think that Krishna is looking at that and thinking, oh, that's just mundane. No, Krishna is also seeing, oh, these people are making such a sacrifice. And he arranges some mercy for them. He arranges some mercy for them. Oh, yes. Because he is kind and merciful. He is kind. Okay, So that's just a little comment about all this altruism, philanthropy, socialism, communism. These are by the undeveloped minds of the less intelligent persons.
Okay, we reject these things, but not just cold-hearted. That's the point. We cannot just be cold-hearted about it. We can have some appreciation.
In the mundane field, such an outlook of doing good to others in the form of society, community, family, country, humanity, is a partial manifestation of the same original feeling in which a pure living entity feels happiness by the happiness of the Supreme Lord. Such superb feelings were exhibited by the damsels of Rajagopi for the happiness of the Lord. The gopis loved the Lord without any return, and this is the perfect exhibition of the Akama spirit. Kama spirit, where the desire for one's own satisfaction is fully exhibited in the material world, whereas the spirit of Akama is fully exhibited in the spiritual world.
So there is selfish desire in the materialist who is doing welfare work, and it's going to come out some way or another.
So, you know, the doctor may be doing welfare work, but he gets a fat salary as well. You have a back problem, you definitely need an operation. Slip disc, there is no operation required. And then, you know, you download a few stretching exercises from the internet and you cure your back perfectly. But just stretching can get it for free on Google, instead of paying a huge amount of money. Like that, we can see that everything in this world is mixed with fluid of desire. You ungrateful wretch! You ungrateful wretch! How dare you rebel to your father? Do you know what I've done for you? How we've sacrificed for you? Years and years I worked overtime to pay your school fees. And now what you are doing? And now you don't want to finish your university education, you useless wretch. Thou shalt become a doctor. Thou shalt.
I don't want to be a doctor.
Thou shalt be a doctor. Your parents have sacrificed for you, young man. Disgrace to the family. Thou shalt be a doctor. Isn't it? Is that pure love? Or is that?
My son is a doctor.
Oh, really?
It adds a lot of prestige to the family.
We need one. Save bills also. The Jewish mother had three sons. She said, this is the doctor, that's the lawyer, because every Jewish family has a doctor and a lawyer. Saves a lot of money. And that's the Hare Krishna. Many Jewish people became Hare Krishnas. They sometimes they said the JBC. It's a joke. Excuse me about that one. But it's a joke. But yes, many, many devotees came from that background. Absolutely. The good ones, they became Hare Krishnas. So, I'm almost done with the purport. I mean, it's very long. Udaradi means one has a broader outlook. So yes, we need a broader outlook. People with desires for material enjoyment worship small demigods, and such intelligence condemned in the Bhagavad Gita as Rita Jnana, the intelligence of one who has lost his senses. Are you doing ding 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 for what, you know, for getting worship, for getting some benefits, you know? You get blessings on this house. Oh God, please bless this house. Bless my car, bless my house, bless my children, bless my wife, bless my shoes, bless my coat, bless my glasses. Did I forget anything? Oh, bless everything. Bless my phone.
Thank you for that reminder.
So, under the circumstances, one with a broader outlook, even with the desire for material enjoyment or for liberation, should take to the worship of the Lord directly. And everyone, whether an akama or sakama or mokshakama, should worship the Lord with great expedience. This implies that bhakti yoga may be perfectly as administered without any mixtures of karma and jnana, and the unmixed sun ray is very forceful and is therefore called tigra. Similarly, unmixed bhakti yoga of hearing, chanting, etc. may be performed by one and all, regardless of inner motive. And in this way, we can understand that this process of devotional service is a process for the world as a whole, and that no one is excluded. And Prabhupada understood that not everyone was able to follow the regulative principles. And then he didn't make a big deal about it. Like in Vrindavan, Prabhupada started a program. He said there were workers who were working on the fields. And Prabhupada said, okay, they don't have to chant in the morning. They can work on the fields in the morning. He said, but in the middle of the day, they should come together and have kirtan. There should be kirtan. And then prasad. And then they can work. And rest a little bit, and then they can work. But like that, there may be a class of men who may not exactly follow all the four regulated principles, but kirtan and prasad must be there. That is there for all. Not everyone may chant 16 rounds, but kirtan and prasad is for everyone. For everyone. Just see. Interesting. And those who chant 16 rounds and follow four regulated principles, they must become teachers. They cannot worry so much about their own livelihood, you know. Oh yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Oh God, we also want a BMW. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Yes. No, no. Just keep it simple so that you can teach, because that is our business. Those who chant 16 rounds, follow for regulated principles, they must become teachers to save the rest of the world. That is our business. Good morning. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Maharaj, the last statement that came out of the Bhagavad Gita was without any inner motives. And you so kindly described it. Those who are following the principles, they should not have motives. But motives are motives, whether they are material or spiritual. Is there a distinction? Because the statement did not make any distinction except without inner motives. Any motive or just material motives?
Yeah, no material motives. Yes. Now the point was obviously Prabhupada when he said without inner motive, it says here, as the unmixed sun ray is very forceful and therefore called tibra, simply unmixed bhakti yoga of hearing, chanting, etc. may be performed by one and all regardless of inner motive. It means if the inner motive is pure and one is a pure devotee, then naturally pure devotion service will be performed. But even for those who do not have that pure motive, they should also do it. They should also perform tibra bhakti. They should not water it down with a little karma kanda and, you know, ting 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 ting, little puja for this, or, you know, a little jnana kanda, this Bhagavad Katha speaker, he's very famous. Some Bhapuwala. Too much famous. I must go. 80,000 people are listening to this lecture, and it's full with impersonalism. Do not go. 80,000 people go. Great. Then it's going to be peaceful today on the roads. It's like once I was in India when there was a cricket final. India against Australia. It was the best day of my life. Nobody on the street. Everyone in front of the TV. I had the street to myself for a change.
I know you want to read more into this sentence of Srila Prabhupada, but maybe you want to read too much into it. Go ahead.
No, but the question that I was really wanting to ask was, when you say without any motive, would that...
Without inner motive. Why you want to read so much into those few words? Srila Prabhupada wants to say, without... it says it doesn't matter what your motive is, whether you have a pure spiritual motive or whether you have a material motive. Both people have the duty to engage in the service of Krishna. One does it out of love, the other does it out of duty, depending on the motive. If you have a material motive, you do it out of duty. If you have a spiritual motive, you do it out of love. What's the difference?
I have a similar
question. I'm getting more impatient. Go ahead. Altruism, and now we go to Mother Teresa. It says, you know, that we as devotees should not blaspheme any devotees of the Lord, right? And then I was listening to a lecture of Prabhupada the other day, and he said that includes even devotees from other traditions. He said, even in the tradition of Jesus and Muhammad, right, we should also appreciate the saints. So, I'm not sure. I'm going to give credit to Mother Teresa as a person. So, that's the personal part. Credit to Mother Teresa. Now, the general case, you know, the theoretical case. Is it possible that a person who is... saintly, selfless, altruistic, at the same time has some sort of meditation on a spiritual benefit and never is still selfish? Yes, it's possible. But Krishna will purify that. Because Krishna is not just sitting there receiving the worship, you know. It's not only that Krishna sits there on a throne in heaven, bored stiff, you know, sitting there, okay. Are they finally gonna worship me again? Yeah, they are. Okay, that was nice. Bless. Okay. Alright, nice. The Christian prayed on his knees. Great. Bless. Oh, the Hare Krishna waved some incense. Bless to you too. And the Muslim went down five times again. Five times bless. Very nice. And Krishna. And the Lord is sitting there. What a boring life it is to be God. No, he's doing things also. He's scheming and politicking, just like we are. So he's thinking, oh, here's my devotee, and he's on his knees, but at the same time thinking of heaven. All right, let me make some politics in the life of this devotee. And in this way, Krishna makes arrangements to take away these material desires. So when a devotee has such motives for enjoying fruits from his spiritual pursuits, then Krishna will put some throw a spanner in the works. So it's not only us who do all the work and try to become pure. Krishna is also purifying us. Okay. Yeah. Yes, it's true, and that's possible. You can go gradual, step by step. Yeah. And why not? So So little by little we can build up a spiritual life, and little by little we can surrender. And in Germany, you know, you have the Autobahn, right, the highway, and it's very famous because there's no speed limit, everybody knows. Right? But, excuse me, there is a slow lane also, for slow traffic, and they have a sign, and you know, it's right side traffic there, so the slow lanes are on the right side. So it says, there was a sign and it said, turtles to the right. Turtles to the right, you know. So there is a turtle lane. So in the Hare Krishna movement there's also a turtle lane. You know, take, no, I know, you can't surrender too fast. Take your time, you know, move slowly. No? Everyone's welcome in the Hare Krishna movement, turtles also. But it's also not, I don't think Prabhupada came to the West to make a turtle movement. I have a feeling that Prabhupada also wanted us to push a little bit and to do something that was difficult and not anything very slow and very clever. So between these two points, your point is well taken, from the attached stage, a stage in between, and then the saintly stage. But some of us must be heroes. Some of us. We need a few heroes who say, yes, I'm gonna try and do something special for Krishna. And anyone gets a chance. The rest can sort of go with the herd, you know. You can look a left, look a right, you know, and then do exactly as they do, and you just go like, or you can say, no, I'm going to be different. It's up to you. As you like. That chance is there. Yeah, when you look at these devotees, the ones that are named in the Bhagavatam, Prahlad, Bhishma, they were all the special devotees. They did something special. Didn't think about it. So I think about these things myself. Haven't done anything special yet, but I'm thinking about it. Anyway, thank you very much. We end now, and 10:30 we have a seminar again. Do any of the organizers know if it's in the, if it's happening in the theater at 10:30? Nobody has told me, but I get this. Is that where it's?
Yeah, it's advertised.
Good. Is there a manager also who can make sure that I get a projector, a flip chart, and all these things? Anyway, if you know a manager, maybe you can tell. Thank you. That would cause trouble for anyone.